Okay, I would like to introduce everyone to the 15th lecture, Shiur, in the continuing series of lectures on the section in the Rambam, in the Mor Nevuchim, or the chapters in the Mor Nevuchim that deal with what has been termed the Rambam's negative theology. Last week, at the very end of the Shiur, I proposed what to some of you might have been a little bit of a startling observation, that in a certain sense the Rambam understood that his role in the Meir Nevuchim, in a certain sense, was parallel, akin to that role of Moshe Rabbeinu, namely promulgating the concept of monotheism, which the Rambam identifies with the negative theology. And I mentioned that, in fact, actually, a lot of what the Rambam says in Perek Samech Gimel, chapter 63, of Moshe Rabbeinu coming and revealing to the Jewish people the secrets of the secrets of the philosophical concept of the necessary existing God, which the Rambam identifies with Yud Kei Vav Kei, is in fact a little bit what the Rambam is in fact doing here in these sections. And the Rambam is actually explicating the Klal Yisrael, what he feels to be is the true theology, the true monotheism, the negative theology of the Torah, which in fact it actually is the represents, you know, the fundamental theology of the Jewish people, the Torah. In fact, the Rambam in his, you know, in the very introduction of the Sefer, as he is, does with many other forms, says B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, which is actually the pasuk in Bereishis, which the Rambam, as we'll see, uses often in explaining or in his exposition of the monotheism of the Torah. What I want to do now, though, is I want to go a little bit deeper into this, because I think this is a very, very vital topic. It's not actually a topic that's specifically connected with the section of negative theology, but I think that since we got into the topic already, we might as well finish it, we might as well complete it. And I think, of course, it'll be, I'm sure that we will get many, many emails and questions and queries and critiques and criticisms, etc., etc. But what I'd like to do is, I would like to focus on several things in the Rambam, spanning the entire Meir Nevuchim, where it's clear that the Rambam understood that perhaps the purpose of the Meir Nevuchim was in fact to explicate what the Rambam held was the prophecy, the Nevuah, the Panim al Panim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I think I mentioned last week in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Rambam, in fact, in the seventh Ikrim, which, by the way, I didn't mention it last week? Oh, very good. So actually, for some reason, I thought I had mentioned it last week. But if not, I didn't bring my Yud Gimel Ikrim with me, but I did actually translate it into English. The Rambam says the following thing. In the Yud Gimel Ikrim, I didn't mention the Ikrim, but I think I did. I must have brought the Yud Gimel Ikrim. I'll say it over again, in any case. If I didn't mention it, I'm going to mention it now. If I did mention it, it'll be a chazara. In any case, in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, which is the seventh Ikrim, Yud Gimel Ikrim is Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. It's important to know that Yud Gimel Ikrim, prophecy, Nevuah, and Moshe Rabbeinu are two separate Ikrim. They're two separate Ikrim. In other words, one Ikrim is the sixth Ikrim, which is prophecy, that a person we have to believe, that Munish Shleima, that Kosh Baruch communicates to his Nevi'im. But then the seventh Iker is the distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and all other prophets. That's an Iker. Moshe Rabbeinu is not just another prophet. And in fact, actually, the seventh Iker, I think, is by far the longest of the Ikrim in the Rambam, because then the Rambam goes at length in fact, delineating the distinctions between the Nevuah, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im. In the course of this interesting and long discussion, the Rambam says, and here I'm going to quote a few in English. This is the Tribus translation of the Shilat edition of the Rambam. I would have preferred to explicate this wonderful idea to which the verses of the Torah and to explain the concept of peh el peh, mouth to mouth, in Bamidbar, and that entire verse, in addition to others like it, except that I realize that these matters are very subtle and require much elaboration, introductions, and metaphors in order to explain the existence of angels, the different levels in relationship to the Creator, to explain the soul and its powers, and to discuss the language used by prophets relating to the Creator and the angels. It would not suffice for this matter, even if I wanted to be as brief as possible, to compose a composition of even 100 pages. Therefore, I will leave it for some other work, whether it be a intent to write, or a book about prophecy, which I've begun, or a book explicating these fundamentals. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Now, we know that the Rambam constantly edited the Perush HaMishnayos throughout his life, which means that if the Rambam was, he was even editing it until he was rather old, which means, in fact, the Rambam didn't write this book, it could possibly be that he would probably just sort of like, you know, crossed it out, perhaps. But in any case, the fact is, where is this chibur? Now, the fact is that there's a fundamental central question which really any person who's gone through the Mourn of Vulcan should ask, where is Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mourn of Vulcan? Where is he? There isn't a section devoted to Moshe Rabbeinu in the entire Mourn of Vulcan. I mean, there's a pshat here, we saw in Perak Nundalin, we saw in Samach Beis, we saw in Chamach Gimel, but there isn't any section in the Mourn of Vulcan at all devoted to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, where would I expect the Rambam to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu? I would expect him to speak about it where? In the section of prophecy. In fact, the Rambam says here that maybe he's going to put it in a book of prophecy which he's composing. So what I would like to do is I'd like to read for you, right, what the Rambam writes in Perek Lamed Hei. Right? That's a section, in one of the chapters in the section of prophecy. Well, this is volume 2, right? Volume 2 of the Meir HaNevuchim, in the section on prophecy in the Meir HaNevuchim, I think I might have mentioned this last time, begins with Perek Lamed Beis, of section of Chelek Beis, chapter 32 of the section number 2, which begins on page 373 in the Schwartz edition, and it extends really to about Perek Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, right? Also in section 2. Now, in Perek Lamed Hei, right, which in the Schwartz edition is on page 382, so if you have the Schwartz edition, you certainly have the section, because the first two sections are printed in the same volume, says the Rambam an incredible thing. Kvar hivhalti la'anoshim, kulam. I've already explained to everybody that what's kulam, what it means everybody. Right, as opposed to the Mourn of Vulcan, which is a much more esoteric work, which the Rambam doesn't expect everyone to read, but sort of the Perush Mishnayos is something that probably everybody read, and maybe even the Mishnah Torah. And Abar Havdelim, Asher Behem Nevdelas, the Vuz Moshe Rabbeinu, Minavuz Shah Nevi'im. In other words, says the Rambam, I've already explained to people the distinctions between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Nevuah of the Nevi'im. Hey, Vesi, Rayis Lakach, I brought proofs for this. We have Hasiyah on the Perush HaMishnah. I explained it in the Perush HaMishnah. That's actually what I've been referring to here. The meaning the Hakdama to Perek Chelek in the Perush HaMishnayos over Mishnah Torah. Ram says I explained it in both places. By the way, discussion in the Mishnah Torah is really not much more than discussion in the Perush HaMishnayos. Says the Rambam, Ein Torech Lachzor Al Zayis. There's no need to repeat this. For Ainzai's been part of the Sefer. Is that the point of the Sefer? Maybe it's not the point of the Sefer. What's Judaism without Moshe Rabbeinu? But then he goes like this. Masha Diacha Ushakol Dovash Oimal Oidis and Avim Pilke Sefer. What I'm going to tell you is that everything that I'm going to speak about the Via and the chapters of this Sefer, who are Oidis, Sugas of Wasam Shakol the Via, Ashim Ben Moshe Rabbeinu Abom Akram. Speak about the Via either before Moshe Rabbeinu or those who came after him. I'm not going to even devote one word to the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, neither explicitly, it's not even alluding to him. In other words, the call Moshe Rabbeinu a prophet is just because they have like a common word, but really, the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's devotion under the VM is a qualitative difference that has nothing to do with each other. Now, first of all, it's interesting The Rambam says it's not the purpose of the Sefer. So I'm not going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu in this Sefer. Now, what do you mean this Sefer? In the Moed of Ulchim, he does speak of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, to be a little bit scholarly, you could say the following thing. The Rambam says he was writing a Sefer, a book about prophecy. And maybe he thought it would only be a book about prophecy. So when the Rambam wrote this, he thought that he was going to put out the section of prophecy as a separate Sefer. So he wrote this book. But this Sefer doesn't mean the entire Moed of Ulchim. That's one way of understanding it.
But if he was reviewing it, if he's editing and reviewing the whole Bible,
maybe he didn't. I don't know, maybe he didn't. Or, right, but if he was reviewing it, I'm not sure how much reviewing he did on this, but whatever it is. You know, with the Mishnah Torah, we know for sure. The we know he reviewed. But the fact is, this Sefer can mean this section of Nevoah. It can mean this section of Nevoah. But what is the, first of all, why does the Rambam make such a strong statement? Not one word, Dav Sheni. That requires some type of exegesis of the Rambam. Strong statement that the Rambam means. Now, first of all, the Rambam's not telling the truth. Why is he not? Well, first of all, the Rambam speaks at length on Perek Lamedtes about Moshe Rabbeinu. He speaks about his Nevuah. He speaks about what distinguishes Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah from the Nevi'im. This is Perek Lamedtes, chapter 39. You can look it up for yourself. Page 394, 395, and 396 in the Schwartz edition.
Maybe he means afterward. That's before.
Afterward what? He speaks about the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the purpose of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu? And how is it distinguished from other prophets? He has a long exposition on this. Look and see. Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned 5-6 times. He says he's not going to mention one word, not even an allusion. He devotes an entire chapter to this. He also speaks about in chapter 45, he lists the dagas of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the last paragraph he devotes to Moshe Rabbeinu.
This is which sefer?
The Mari Nevoah?
No, which Aleph, Beis, or Gimel?
This is all Beis. This is the section on Nevoah. He speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. Not to mention that if this Sefer means the Mari Nevoah, there's nothing to speak about. I mean, already we've had three Prokim in the Mari Nevoah that are devoted to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nun Dalat Samach Gimel Samach Dalat Moshe Rabbeinu.
In Chelek
what? In Chelek Aleph. I mean, the last few weeks I've been speaking of Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could the Rambam make a statement like this when in fact actually he does speak about the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, even the section of Nevoah? In other words, in the most narrow interpretation of this sentence, we still see himself blatantly contradicting himself. Okay, now, first of all, what I want to do is the following thing. I want to get a little bit of a comprehensive sketch of the Moed Nevoah. And where does Moshe Rabbeinu fit into the entire Moed Nevoah? Okay? Now, I can't give as comprehensive sketch as I would like, but I think if we look at about 7 or 8 places, it'll give us an idea of what the scope of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy in the Moed Nevoah is like. Okay, now, let's go right to the Hakdamah. There's a famous Hakdamah of the Rambam, an introduction, which actually we could probably give actually 20 classes on Hakdamah of the Rambam to the Moed Nevoah. The Rambam in the Hakdamah says the following thing. He says, on page 12, he describes
Psicha.
In the Psicha, right, which is page 12 of the Schwartz edition, he's speaking about communicating the secrets of the Torah. The purpose of Moed Nevoah is to communicate the secrets of the Torah, Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Melkavah. And he says that Chachamim communicated these things, he says, right, using Chidois u'mishalim, using metaphors and parables. Okay? And, right, says the Rambam, Al Tachshav, do not think, Sha'asoydes Hagadelim Ha'elu, these great secrets. You do him at tachlisim v'seifim le'echad mi'itana. Don't think that anyone knows them completely. Don't think anyone knows them completely. Lord, no. Sometimes the truth, and this is a very, very, this is one of the great moments of the Meravucha, the Rambam is being extremely poetic, metaphoric, and the Mekubalim love this. They prove that this, the Rambam is a Mekubal. Sometimes, says the Rambam, the truth, like, strikes us, and we think, like, we're the light of the day. Okay? But then what happens is that every life, but then the daily walk of life returns, and we're in the darkness. Right? Right? Some people, we're like people who, like, you know, the lightning strikes like a few times, from time to time, at night. Yesh b'neinu, there is among us, mishi habot mavik lo pamachapam. There is among us a certain person that the lightning strikes him time after time. Atchu kibiyachul tamim b'toich or she'enu paisek. He's like an unending, unceasing light. Kasha laylo yifech lo liyoy. Until the day, night becomes day. Who is this? Who is among us? Zudagas Godel HaNaviyim. This is the level of the greatest of the Naviyim. As it says about him in the Torah, Va'ata poi amoy ibodi. You will stand together with me. In Devarim, or Kikon, or Ponov, Moshe Rabbeinu's face illuminated. Yesh peneyim yishivu lo bar pa'ba'achas kol laila, sometimes once in the night, etc., etc. In other words, the Rambam, when he's speaking about the secrets, which, according to the Rambam, he's trying to communicate to the Magen Avuchim, the Rambam is saying is that the person who had these secrets, most clearly, among others, is none other than the Adon HaNaviyim, Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so already, it's clear that these secrets of the Torah, Ma'aseh Bereishis, Ma'aseh Merkava, right, were understood most clearly by the other Nevi'im. Now it's very interesting. I want to be medayek in Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam does not say that, he doesn't say the only person who knows the secrets was Moshe Rabbeinu and that was it. He doesn't say that. He says, Yesh Beineinu, there is among us someone, Shehabah, that the lightning strikes time after time with such consistency that what? He feels that the night lightens up. And this happens to be the Daga of the Godel HaNaviyim. What does that mean? Now, I want to go a little further. In the beginning of the Meir Nevuchim, the Rambam says, what's the purpose of the Meir Nevuchim? Says the Rambam, now I'm in the Pesach again, page 10, the second paragraph, the fourth line, says the Rambam, okay, says the Rambam, Matoras HaSeifa Zeh, I'm sorry, I'm in the second paragraph, in the sixth line, the third line of the second paragraph, the second line from the bottom, says the Rambam, Matoras HaSeifa HaZeh, right? I'm sorry, the second line, Matoras HaSeifa HaZeh Kuloi, the purpose of this entire book, V'chol Mashem Besugoi, anything like it, Hi Chochmas HaTera LaMisa, it's the wisdom of the true wisdom of the Lord. Professor Strauss trains the true science of the law. Now, that's the purpose of the Sefer. Now, I want to go to Chelek Shlishi, which you might not have in front of you, because in the Schwartz edition, the Chelek Shlishi is in the second volume.
But it's all on the internet.
It's on the internet?
Schwartz with the footnotes on the internet.
Oh, great. Okay, very good. Now, says the Rambam, chapter 27, Perach Chav Zayin, chapter 27 of volume 3, page 516 in the Schwartz edition. By the way, it's all... Okay? Kavanas kolat Torah shnei devarim. The purpose of the Torah, of the entire Torah, two things. Tikinus ha-nefesh u tikinus ha-guf. You know, the perfection of the nefesh, of the soul, and the perfection of the guf. Says the Rambam, the perfection of the soul is intellectual perfection. Says that very clearly. To be masik, to apprehend the shleimus, the final shleimus, says the Rambam. Final perfection. Says the Rambam, page 517, the third paragraph. Lachain ha-Torah misis. The true Torah, right? Where do we see a true Torah? I just quoted you the introduction. The true Torah, Asher bi'anu she'achas v'ein bilta, which we've already explained is one and unique, v'hi Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, barak l'lam l'sam l'shnei ha'shleimis gam yachad, because it teaches both perfections together. In other words, in fact, what's the Rambam saying? The purpose of this Sefer, which is to teach me, as the Rambam says, Chochmas HaTorah Amisa, this is none other than Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I'll go further. The Rambam, in the section of prophecy, so in other words, it's clear according to the Rambam, that what the Maruchim doing? It's coming to explain this Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. The plot thickens. Let's go further. The Rambam in Nevuah, in which he blatantly violates what he told us in chapter 35, where he says he wouldn't speak about the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, not even a word, not even an allusion. Says the Rambam in chapter 39, which elaborates upon Moshe Rabbeinu, he says that the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to give us the perfect balance in the human being, perfect perfection in the human being. So says the Rambam, HaTorah Hazoi, and this is only Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are giving us Musa. They're Bashkicha. They're not telling us the law, only Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why we don't learn Halacha from the Nevi'im. The Rambam says this once again, chapter 39, 20th edition, page 395, volume number 2. Kena terazoi, shehiva shehiv muzenis. The Torah itself says that the Torah is muzenis, balanced, like it says, chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. Yodei atash ha-tzadikim perusha muzanim. Tzadikim are balanced. They're not too full, they're not too fried, they're right in the middle. Says the Rambam, right? And says the Rambam, Kashen Dabar Sefer Zeh Al Tamei HaMitzvahs. When we speak about the Tamei HaMitzvahs, Yizbar Lecha, it will be explained to you, made clear to you, Mizunin B'Chochmasan, the balance in Chochma, what is fitting to be explained. And therefore it says, Teres Hashem Tamima. Now, what is this Chachma? This, now, first of all way the Rambam told us that Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah is the balance. But what is the Chachma of the Torah? What wisdom is there in the Torah? What's it with Moshe Rabbeinu? So for this, I turn to chapter 25 in section 3. In other words, this the Rambam is clearly being mashlim. Torah is ani b'mokam echad, oshi b'mokam echad. What?
27. 25?
That, what I explained, I already know. When I said what it was 27, now it's 25, page 5 away, then the Rambam makes an argument that everything God does is for has a rational reason. No, because Baruch Hu doesn't do something in the world for no reason whatsoever, or for a joke, or just to waste time. Says the Rambam, right, says the Rambam, towards the end of chapter 25, page 511, Kavar Hodati Lecha, I've already explained to you, as das Torah seinu b'inyan zeh, the das of our Torah in this matter, For she has shared bacha, and that what you have to believe, she can ain't absurdus, but Renush, but since I dumb, I call myself Thomas Kochman Shazale. It's not absurd to think that even though we do not understand completely a Kodesh Bo, who God, all the acts, no. It's not absurd to say that we can understand the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even though Sha'anu and Yodim Rabbos, even though we don't know, right? We don't know many of the aspects of Chachma of his actions. In other words, even though we don't know everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still can understand the wisdom of his actions. Al Deya Zois, on this Deya, Nifnes, it was built, Toilas Moshe Rabbeinu. Incredible. Now, if you know the Be'er Nevuchim, which is the third chayin, which I think we advertise when we speak about the Tamei Mitzvahs after Pesach, but we'll have to speak about that another time. The Tamei Mitzvahs is based upon this principle that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu commands a mitzvah, we can understand the reasoning behind the mitzvah. God's reason behind the mitzvah. And says the Rambam, that's Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, it's Toras Moshe Rabbeinu is the ability or to understand fundamentally the wisdom, the rationale, right, behind the mitzvahs, which leads to the most balanced perfection of a human being. Incredible. Not to mention, that the very end of the Meir Nevuchim, the very end of the Meir Nevuchim. By the way, the Rambam says over here, just if we don't know everything about God, doesn't mean we can't understand God's rational actions. That's actually what the Rambam said on page 12. The Rambam says, right, that even though no one knows everything, says the Rambam, even though no one knows everything, I just read that, right? Even though everyone knows everything, nonetheless, for some individuals among us, things are extremely clear. And this is the Daga of Moshe Rabbeinu. Come on, who's he speaking about? Now, I want to read the end of the Meir Nevuchim. It's a different work now. The end of the Meirin of Mimoisha Ad Moisha. I was going to make the Yikra of the Mishnah Torah too, by the way. I'm not finished with this. At the end of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, right, no. Speaks about what? I'm on chapter Perek Nun Dalet, chapter 54, volume 3, page 675 in the Schwartz edition. This is the stupendous ending of the Meirin of Vuchen. Beethoven, the end of Beethoven's fifth, it is, but not whatever. He says, he speaks about Mishpat Ustoka. He says like this. He speaks about the Shloisha Saimidas, which he spoke about in, right? Atachlis, Oyset, Zion, a Pasuk, Zed, Atachlis, in this Pasuk, is therefore the Shlemus that a person can come to a level of truth, and it's the Madrega of Mishi Yigiyah Lahazik Zakel Kafi Yecholtoi. That person who's able to be Masik on his Baruch Hu, with the greatest, in accordance with his human possibilities. Who is that person? Who is that person? What do you think of that person? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about. In other words, the highest perfection, says the Rambam. The end of Meir Nevuchim. When the Rambam says, this is the levels of perfection, that perfection is in Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Rambam concludes, right? Zashir Masher Isa Lochalav Kippa Seif Azeh. This is what I've interested you in this book. Devom Shirli Mo Ilim Mo Ilish Kamoisko. Someone that's something that's will be very good for someone like you. And he wishes him luck. Yisrael Chaim Zabazeh, etc. That's the end of the Meir Nevuchim. The end of Meir Nevuchim, we reached the highest level that a person can reach, and that's none other than what? That's none other than the level of that person who reached the highest thing you could reach. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, clearly. In any case, what do we see here? The Rambam wrote a chibur about Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't call it Moshe Rabbeinu. He did not devote an entire section to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Bayna Bochim is the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, it's interesting. Why did the Rambam? Yeah.
Does that mean that Rambam held that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Aristotelian philosophy?
I knew you were going to say that.
Or
I was waiting for that question. Strauss would probably ask it differently. Did the Rambam think that Aristotle was Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is
equivalent.
Obviously not. What?
This is equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah.
No. This is a longer discussion. It's a longer discussion. I can't. I'll tell you the truth. I think I have an idea. I haven't formulated it completely myself. It could possibly be that the Rambam understands that Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is something which persists in history. Just like the Rambam says in the Shere Sheni and Sefer Mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu made drushes, etc., etc. And maybe the Rambam understood that the outlook that he's presenting in the Bayin Levuchim represents the rational understanding of the Torah, which is part and parcel of the Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's a modern restatement.
That's what I would think. Now, Lemaisa, I have a raya from a Gemara for what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam says, in the Gemara says in the Dorim, Daflam and Ches, for those of you who, Folio 38, side A in your art school edition, the Rambam says in Daflam and Ches that actually the Torah was supposed to be given only to Moshe Rabbeinu, Zichu Teres Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Noyeg, Ayin Toiv, the Klal Yisrael. Right? And the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu was a very nice person and decided that he'd give Klal Yisrael, share the Torah to Klal Yisrael too. Says the Gemara, what did Moshe Rabbeinu give to Klal Yisrael? Pilpulish al Torah. That's what the Gemara says. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael the rational, the pilpulish al Torah, the rational thing of the Torah. Meaning is that what was transmitted through the generations was the pilpulish al Torah, which is the, I would understand to be the rational underlying the mitzvahs. That's what I would say Pilpul Shalteira is. The Gemara is not just Pilpul Shalteira. No, Pilpul we understand in a different way, because that's the redaction of the Gemara, like my other Shiur. But with the Gemara is Pilpul Shalteira, it's a Maimah. That's what I think the Gemara means. The Netziv actually refers to this Gemara, and the Netziv says the Ik of Teira is Eish.
It's
Pilpul, as far as it's Akdama, right? Akdama to Emek Shaila. And it's interesting that the Tziv, Derech Agav, now that I'm on a tangent, I might as well continue on a tangent, the Tziv actually derives halacha lemaisa from this, that the issa to teach a guy is the teacher Pupula Shalteira. In other words, you can teach a guy like, you know, Chumash, even like Gemara, you can even art scroll probably, but you can't teach him Ketzais and Nesivas, or Abchayim. That you can't teach a guy. That's the Tziv.
That's a different meaning of Pilpul, though.
What?
That's not the same Pilpul you just...
Ein Achalam, you're right, because that Pilpul at the time of the Shas. When the Gemara is supposed to, what does it mean, Pilpul Shalteira? What did the Gemara mean by Pilpul Shalteira? When there's a main move, in a moment, what does that mean? I think that's what I'm saying. In any case, I don't know, this is all speculation, I don't know. There's, in Strauss's introduction to the Penis edition, he does raise this issue. You know, who's bigger for the Rambam, Aristotle or Moshe Rabbeinu? In any case, but I claim that Strauss was wrong. I tie no Haina. Well, I don't want to say Haina Hak, but Tas V'Shalom. No, that's. What I want to say is that the Rambam probably understood, at this point, Rambam understood that the deep rational understanding of the Torah that he has is merely in other words, communicating the rational theology of Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, if you look at the Rambam in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Rambam says the difference between a Navi and Moshe Rabbeinu is that the Neviim operate through metaphor, and they operate through, you know, the imaginative faculty, the Koyach HaMadame, and Moshe Rabbeinu is pure what? Koyach HaMadame, which is the rational faculty. Now, one thing, you know, I think needs to be mentioned, why is the Rambam so insistent that he's not going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu in the prophecy? I don't know, but what's very interesting is the Rambam says in his Hadama that there are two purposes of the Sefer. One is to explain the explain the true wisdom of the Torah, and Sakhtan Davids explained the Mishalim of the Nevi'im, the Bevels of Nevi'im. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, at least in his halacha, didn't speak metaphorically. All the Christians believe that. We don't believe that. So it could possibly be the Rabbanus taught Nevuah Lechud and Moshe Rabbeinu Lechud. Namely what? In other words, when I'm speaking about Nevuah, I speak about the imaginative faculty, I speak about that the Nevi'im used metaphor because they saw B'cholim and everything, that's not Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, in my description of prophecy, I don't mean Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, there shouldn't be a remiss to Moshe Rabbeinu, an illusion. Why not? Don't think Moshe Rabbeinu used metaphor. That's pelpe, panim upon him. Because the Rambam here is insisting that in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing in common with the prophets. I mean, the word Nevuah is used, but that's it. It has really nothing substantially in common with the prophets. Because the promise, so in other words, one of the two purposes of the Bar Nevuchim was to explain the what? The Nevuah by Shabbeinu, and was to explain the Nevuah of the other prophets. That's really what the Rambam means. So in other words, the Nevuah of the other prophets, the Rambam devotes in his sections of prophecy when he speaks about metaphor. The Nevuah of the, or maybe in the first section too, when he speaks about different psukim of the Torah. By the way, Derech Agav, it's very interesting, the non-halachic psukim of the Torah, the Rambam actually treats that like very, very similar to that of other prophets. It's very, very interesting. But when we speak about Tfuah Moshe Rabbeinu, we speak about the halachas, you know, the legal part of the Torah. But in any case, the fact is that these are two separate subject matters, and one of them with the other. They have to keep them separate. Okay, in any case, I just want to say one other thing too, which is interesting. This translation, the Rambam says, I'm going to explain the concept of Mount Pelpeh and the entire verse. Where does the Rambam speak about the entire verse? He speaks about it actually in the first chaylik. In the first chaylik, in Perek Gimel, and in Perek Dalet, chapter 4, it's actually on page 36 and page 37 of the Schwartz edition. There the Rambam speaks about not Pelpeh, but the other part of the Pasuk. So the Rambam spoke about the other part of the Pasuk. The other part of mean, right, Utmunas Hashem Yabit. Tumulis Hashem Yabit. Also too. And right? Tumulis Hashem Yabit. So that's the other part of the passage. So when the Rambam wrote this, he was very well aware of what he was going to speak about the Bar Nevuchim. Okay? Baruch Hashem. Okay, now, this opens up a tremendous amount. In my opinion, this is probably the most radical thing I've said about the Bar Nevuchim in all of these classes. And, okay. And the fact is, though, I mean, I think this thrusts a whole different now light upon the Meir Nevuchim. Which means the Meir Nevuchim was not written for Nevuchim. It wasn't written for, you know, Nevuchim. The Meir Nevuchim was the real thing. It was the real thing. And not only that, we understand the relationship between the Meir Nevuchim and the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah is coming to give us the halachas, like Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rambam's, the legal. And the Meir Nevuchim is coming to give us the logic behind the mitzvahs. The two works are not, you know, an expression of some type of a schizophrenia or one was connected to another work, as Strauss says, that the secret Rambam and the unsecret Rambam is not true. In both works, the Rambam is actually expressing a facet of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.
The Talmud misses the Ikar section of Meir Nevuchim.
Yes. It's the Ikar section of Meir Nevuchim. It's very, very interesting that like no one learns the third section.
Right.
Not as anyone learns the third section. I noticed that even the Rishonim, I mean, the most you get from the third section is the famous Ramban and Vayikra about Kobonais. But there, the Ramban doesn't go all the way. A little bit. I noticed that there's a dearth of Rishonim on the third section. Maybe they're following the principle of the Rambam that no one can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. In any case, I don't know. In other words, what I'm saying is I think the matter requires a tremendous amount of research, eon, scholarship, and thought. But there's no question about it that the Rambam didn't have to devote a section in the Moreh Nevuchim to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moreh Nevuchim is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what comes out. Okay, fine. Now, this whole shiur, this whole lecture was a tangent. Because actually, I didn't really intend to go on to this, but I couldn't resist after Perek Samach Gimel. What I want to do is that the Rambam actually, in Perek Samach Dalet and Perek Samach He, the Rambam actually goes back to understanding certain verses, certain sukkim in the Torah, which and tries to understand them in the light of his negative theology. In other words, the sukkim appear to ascribe to Kodesh Baruch Hu positive descriptions, and the Rambam tries to somehow reinterpret, re-understand these descriptions in terms of the negative theology. Now, what's interesting is, and I want to say something very interesting over here, is that if we look at the Moreh Nevuchim, there's three major sections of the Moreh Nevuchim. I think I've discussed this one time, but it's worth it to go over it again. I think Strauss says he doesn't understand why the Moreh Nevuchim was divided up into those sections. Actually, someone called me up last night about that question, and I had a little bit of argument with him, but I think it was minded to me that Strauss doesn't give a real eight. But then it goes like this. The first section of the Moreh Nevuchim, which ends in Perek Ayin Gimel, right, I think it's chapter 73. No, actually, more than that. Actually, chapter 76, I'm sorry. I always call that Sur Meirah. What not to think. Why is negative theology here? Because negative theology is what not to think. But whatever it is, in other words, Sur Meirah. Those, all those psukim which appear to tell us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can be described anthropomorphically, the Rambam says, don't think like that, Chas V'Shalom. That's Sur Meirah. The second section of the Moreh Nevuchim is Asei Tov, proofs of God, his existence, his incorporeality, Nevuah, that's Asei Tov. The third section I've called Bakesh Shalom V'Rad Fehi, but I'm not sure why I call it that, but L'chaira, if my Hashan is correct, the last part of the puzzle can refer to that too. In any case, what's interesting is, in section 60, like this. Now, in the first prakim, really until chapter 49, the Rambam takes psukim from the Torah and tries to explain what these psukim mean. In particular, the Rambam is concerned that we should not think that these psukim are to be understood literally, but rather philosophically. Be Kabbalah if you want, whatever it is, but nonetheless, the psukim should not be taken literally, but rather we have to understand them in terms of the way we understand everything in the Moreh Nevuchim. Now, the Rambam then goes through the issue of negative theology, which has been the subject of the shiurim that I've been giving in this series. And the Rambam, of course, went to Moshe Rabbeinu, explained some of the psukim, but the psukim were related to the, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding of the necessary existence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which the Rambam identifies with the highest notion of understanding God, negative theology, etc., etc. Now, in chapter 64 and 65, Samach Dalet Samach Hei, which begin in page 165 and are till Asi 66:2, right? There the Rambam goes back to Psukim, understanding Psukim. So why this strange order? In other words, chapter 64, 65, 66, the Chorus should be in the first Psukim, which you're coming to take away from paganism. I mean, the answer is going to be obvious. The answer is because this Psukim happens to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, not all of Psukim, but in fact, the Rambam is going to give us Psukim, which might indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was like the other Nevuim, if we understand the Psukim literally. The Rambam is going to give us, given what we understand about the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, how may they understand these Psukim? So in other words, 64, 65, and 66 are basically, and actually, I think maybe actually 67, that's always a decoy, whatever it is, but 65, 66, and 67 are coming, in fact, actually, to explain psukim used in reference also to Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Rambam is trying to explain lishitas in accordance with that which is formulated up till now. Okay? Now, the Rambam speaks about with the Torah in chapter 64. Now, I'm not going to really begin detail over here, because I think maybe I'm going to leave this probably for next time, because it's getting a little bit late. To start, I'll just be flying very fast at not the speed of light, but maybe at a Higgs particle, I don't know. But in any case, I think the Higgs particle is going to go like 99% of the speed of light, whatever. It's not worth it to fly right now. But actually, what's interesting is that these chapters are very interesting, because not only do these chapters actually explicate certain psukim that deal with the Moshe Rabbeinu, the name of God, but actually there's going to be an explication of actually what happened at Har Sinai, which is interesting, because this is actually something which appears two times in the Ma'ariv Ochim. One time it appears in Samech, chapter 65. Another time it appears too, later on in Lamed Gimel. So in other words, actually the Rambam is going to go enter into the, you know, what Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tavu, etc., etc. In other words, basically the Rambam is actually going to really invoke, in a certain sense, the Torah's description of the Tavu of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. In any case, I think we'll probably end over here, because there's been enough excitement for 1 hour. And from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Hatzlacha, Rabba, Kol Tuv, until the next year. Be well.